Okay, item 440.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University to provide survey and analysis services to meet the requirements of the Department of Justice settlement agreement.
Okay, so you're the designated hitters for this one, then. Come on up. Originally had Mike Marshman down for this. You drew the short straw.
Welcome. I apologize. I'm a poor substitute for Captain Marshman. I'll do my best. My name is Greg Stewart, Mayor, Council People. I spoke with Dr. Renauer, who is the head of Portland State University's Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute. That institute is also the state-sanctioned Policy Research Institute for the state of Oregon. He's the lead researcher on this. He apologizes, but he recently had a severe illness and is unable to attend. I have a letter he emailed to me, which I can either provide you or just read for the record if you would like. Which would you prefer?
Council, want to hear it or you want to have it? Let's just have it put into the record then, okay. I think. Okay. No, you just have it put into the record okay. Rather than read it, unless there are questions for you about this. So.
This is to extend an earlier intergovernmental agreement with Portland State. And just to provide some history, initially upon the settlement agreement with the Department of Justice, that agreement called for us to run a representative community-wide survey around issues of police legitimacy and trust within 90 days of the signing of that agreement. Technically, conducting such a survey takes more than 90 days to prepare. It's quite a significant endeavor. To meet that requirement in a timely fashion, we began immediately exploring how we would accomplish that, began working with Portland State. In the interim, obviously, the agreement has not been signed. However, it was our understanding that the commissioners wanted us to proceed and began implementing such steps that we could. According to the agreement, this survey was to serve as a benchmark or baseline to gauge our progress. If we were to begin implementing the agreement, presumably that would change public perceptions around the police. So it was important that we have a timely assessment of public perceptions of police legitimacy and trust prior to beginning to implement all the changes we've been embarked on. The agreement also asked that, or also specified, that the survey work with the COAB and the COCAL, the designated groups from that agreement. However, those groups have not been formed as yet. To allow a baseline survey, last year the council approved the survey. We've run it, and we do have a baseline. Portland State, is continuing to partner with us and work towards subsequent surveys with the aim of improving how we engage the community and increase their trust. They are open, of course, to changing the survey or modifying it as soon as they have a COCAL and a COAB to interact with. However, at this time we don't. We feel there's significant value in the survey, even in the absence of a signed agreement, because it allows us to look at what we're doing, look at areas where we're improving, areas where we need to improve at a community-wide level. I know there's been some concerns that this is not representative of each segment of the community. While that is true in the general sense, that certainly this should not be the only metric to assess community interactions with the police. The survey itself goes to great lengths to oversample census blocks with high concentrations of persons of color or people, disadvantaged persons, younger persons. And in fact, the survey itself was able to attain a response rate of African Americans commensurate with the representation of the city of Portland because of that oversampling. And again, that's not to say that we don't need to conduct more significant direct outreach, but as one metric amongst kind of a range of metrics, the Bureau feels that this survey could be a powerful tool to help us improve how we interact with the public. We'd like to continue the relationship.
Okay, good explanation. Thank you. Questions for Greg? None now? Okay, well, I'll stand by and see if we have anyone signed up to testify on this, do we?
Yes, we have six people signed up.
Okay.
The first three, please, coming up are Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Joanne Hardesty.
Lightning, I think you're on first this time.
Thank you. The company is Think Lightning Company. My name is Lightning. Now, I'm going to take a different perspective probably on this. My position is that, number one, I don't like to see this being paid by out of the general fund, which I know was in the budget and transferred to the police department. I think when we're talking about some type of research surveys and gathering data, why is there not a grant that is going to pay this off? Why does the public have to pay for this? And I'm really surprised on that a grant is not paying this. And this is coming from the public. The public has to pay for this. And why I'm stating that is that, is the public going to have access to the data? My understanding, they will not. Now, are you going to have access to this data? The commissioners and the mayor and the police commissioner. Now, I would have to say that might be in question, because one of the things that they have basically on this agreement is the ownership of work product. All sets of de-identified data collected under this agreement shall be jointly owned by PSU and PPB. Neither party shall release or otherwise share the raw data compiled data sets with any third party outside of PPB or PSU, except with prior written consent of each party. Now, the way I read this agreement, unless they agreed to provide you that data, you will not receive that data. And why I have a problem with that, again, is that this is public money paying for this research, and they don't want to provide it to the public. They don't want to provide it to you. Well, if you want to do that, get a grant and pay for it yourself. Thank you.
An answer for that. Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the first times I noticed that you have brought something to us that's not an emergency. It's not classified as an emergency. So the lead time is, from what I understand, at least 30 days that you can implement the survey. So the argument that you just heard was, well, you know, we really need to do this. So the thought occurred to me, because I'm very sensitive about you using the emergency clause in the council, which you're all aware of, because I've criticized you a number of times. This one's not. And I can't figure out why it wouldn't be classified as an emergency if you want to do this survey. The other part that we have is, again, as with the other item, we are very sensitive to the fact that there is a decision coming down from the federal judge, and we're asking you not to spend any money until that federal judge makes his decision one way or the other. And that is coming down. And if you do this stuff and he says go to trial, everything's going to be opened up. Nobody even knows what that is. Even the judge doesn't know what that means, because it's going to be appeals. So nobody knows where we're going, and you keep spending this money on these surveys and doing these things with PSU, and then it's the secondary question of who's involved in this survey, what are the questions, how do we get the data? As Lightning pointed out, we may not be able to get this data. You may not be able to get this data, which would be absurd that you're paying for something you can't look at or we can't look at. It's important to have the survey, but it's also important to have the guidance of this federal judge that holds the decision in his hands. So, again, we object to it. It doesn't make much difference that we object to it. You're going to do it anyway. But I'm just telling you that if you do this and the survey is not available under the Freedom of Information Act, then we will blow our tops again and we'll be back here yelling at you one more time. And we would really like to spend a couple of weeks being nice. Thank you.
So we'll get an answer about the access to data question, but you've raised a point a couple of times, and you just need to understand. If we were going to not spend money before the judge rules on the settlement agreement, you're way too late. We have police officers riding around with mental health professionals in the car with them right now. They're on the payroll. We go way back in time. We've been spending money to implement this settlement for a very long time. So that's not today. It was a long time ago.
It came to us that you're already doing this.
Yeah,
that's true.
A whole bunch of things.
All right. All I can do is comment on this, that what I have in front of me here.
I understand.
And the people that are watching this on television need to understand that you're asking us to do something that you're already doing.
We've been doing it for quite a while.
And if that's acceptable to the people that are watching this, then they need to study a little bit more. Because you should ask first before you do something. It works that way. It's called the horse and it's called the cart. Ask and then do it. Not do it and then ask.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good afternoon again, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty. I'm disappointed that Commissioner Novick and Commissioner Saltzman won't hear this particular piece, but maybe their staff will relay it to them. I am here to speak in opposition to this. I want to point out to you page 55 of the settlement agreement, item 146A states, within 90 days of the COAB selection, the city, in consulting with the COAB, will conduct a reliable, comprehensive, and representative survey of members of the Portland community, including civilians and Portland Police Bureau officers, regarding their experiences with and perceptions of Portland Police Bureau, Portland Police Bureau's prior community outreach efforts and accountability efforts, and where those efforts could be improved to inform the development and implementation of a CEO plan. That is direct language out of the settlement agreement. Nowhere in the settlement agreement does it say that the Portland Police Bureau will go out and conduct a community survey to figure out how people feel about Portland Police. Nowhere in the settlement agreement does it say that Portland Police Bureau gets to set the standard for what people's perceptions are of Portland Police. And so I hear a lot coming out of Portland Police Bureau about what they're doing because they have to do it because of the settlement agreement. And we've seen the first survey. Let me tell you the flaws of the first survey. The initial flaw is that the way Portland Police has developed this survey is that all the minority population is in one pile. We know that African Americans are killed and terrorized by Portland police officers more consistently than anybody else in this community. Yet the survey clumps everybody together. So if you're trying to find out what's the experience of recent immigrants to this community and how do they relate to the police, you won't know that by this survey that Chief Reese did. If you wanted to find out, are African Americans actually feeling really skittish and not calling the police because they're fearful of what will happen if they call them, you won't find that information from this particular survey. In fact, the survey that currently was just released by Portland State University under this agreement actually has information in it, like cameras, that didn't come from the people that they talked to. These were ideas that the chief wanted, and he had Portland State University added to the survey. So I'm telling you information that as commissioners and as the mayor, I know Commissioner Fritz knows because she was in the same meeting I was in when we asked these questions directly from the people who conducted the surveys at Portland State University. And so I will stop by saying there is no mandate for Portland Police to do a survey of community attitudes. It is a mandate from the settlement agreement that the COAB and the city cooperatively develop a survey tool, actually implement that survey tool, and then consistently check to make sure attitudes are improving or not. The Portland Police are not the people to tell us what the community's perception of Portland Police are. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next.
Crystal Alinsky, Dan Handelman, and Charles Johnson.
I think Dan's the only one here. Come on up, Dan.
Good morning again, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And I want to echo what Joanne was saying. I completely support what she said about what's written in the DOJ agreement. I'm also concerned that this agenda item is to give Chief Reese the ability to engage in this contract and modify the contract and essentially have the final say over what's going to be in this survey, which does seem to not only go against what the DOJ agreement suggests, but it goes against common sense and what the community has been saying for many years, that we do not trust the police to oversee themselves. So I do hope that you set aside this agenda item. There's no emergency. They did the survey last year without any public input into it, and it should really wait until we figured out what's going on with the DOJ agreement. And the survey itself, which I did not find anywhere on the city's website, by the way, I found it through the Oregonian, which posted it last month. It is written in a very positive way to talk about how over 50% of Portlanders have a good feeling about the Bureau. But the scale that's used is from 1 to 5, and 3 represents average or fair or no opinion. And with the exception of whether people said they would call the police if there was an emergency in their neighborhood, nothing went above the 4 level, which is good. So everything was, you know, mediocre to or better, with a couple of things that were down underneath good, which had to do with whether people thought that police treated people with mental health issues fairly or whether they used race when they're stopping people. So I think that this is a symptom of the police hiring the people to do the survey, that it comes out and kind of skims over the more serious questions that this survey raises. Do we have a good police bureau, or do we have kind of a meh police bureau that's somewhere in the middle, just above 3.0 out of 5? The issue of getting spending money before the DOJ agreement has been finalized, I have raised this again and again, and I keep getting criticized by Commissioner Fisher about this, saying, you keep saying, let's go, let's change, and then you say don't spend money. Well, just to be clear about that, this is the kind of reason why we think you should wait, because this is not the appropriate way to do it. And if you haven't listened before, I really urge you with this particular item, wait on this contract until you've got the final decision about what's going to happen. And I'm really hoping that the city will go forward with the DOJ agreement and those annual hearings with the judge.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's get Greg back up and address this couple of questions here. Access to the data, having the Bureau issue this, do this survey work versus the COAB. Could you address both of those?
Yes, sir. The access to data is a relevant question, actually one of the reasons we went with Portland State. There are a couple different methods you can conduct surveys. Portland State requires that agreement about the data because they don't want to be a research shop. Were we to go to a private contractor, we would have considerably more influence over the questions and over the process because you're paying a private business to do it. Portland State University is an enormous entity. And the money we're providing them for this service is not going to, they're not going to modify their standards around data collection for us. And one of their standards is this co-ownership of the data, because they don't want to be a business just that gets hired to collect data. So that was a requirement they put in. We did, oftentimes you don't have access to the data. We did put in this joint ownership clause so that we could get access to the data. And for instance, when we've partnered with other academic entities to do this kind of work, they have not provided us that access. So we actually have a higher level of access to the data than is the norm in this instance. And that was something we thought about, because we thought there might be interest in that. In regards to the input, these questions aren't just generated kind of at random. There's a huge body of national research by Tom Tyler and others around police trust and legitimacy. What Portland State did is survey this large body of work on issues related to the public trust in police, where a number of other validated surveys have been conducted, and use questions specific to trust and legitimacy that have been basically validated in other surveys nationally. There's a certain methodology to conducting the survey and forming the questions that they adhere to. And again, that's kind of their academic rigor. And this is, again, the state's, I think these concerns would be significantly more valid had we gone with like a private contractor who we could have more control over. But this is kind of the state's Criminal Justice Policy Research Institute, and we wanted to go with an outside entity that had that independence. The reports themselves are posted on the Criminal Justice Policy Research website and available. The questions, if you've had an opportunity to review the questions, they are not easy questions. I would ask that folks go and look at the questions that were asked of the public. And I think you'll see that they were, in fact, very hard-hitting direct questions and questions that we didn't anticipate doing particularly well on in light of the Department of Justice. When you're asking the public after something like that, that the settlement agreement, questions like this, you don't anticipate doing as well as you would like. The purpose of asking those questions at that time, however, is that we're committed to improvement. And if we're to improve, we have to know where we're at initially, which was again, I don't want to say it was an emergency, but the urgency around conducting the survey was that we wanted to have a baseline prior to implementing all these different agreements so that we could know if we're improving or not, if we're on the right track.
So, Mayor, I supported that approach to do the initial survey, but I don't support what's in here. I do. As Ms. Hardesty read from the settlement agreement, it's supposed to be the Community Oversight Advisory Board who does the survey, with the Community Oversight Compliance Liaison Officer is answerable to the whole council. So if there's one entity that gets to look at the data, it should be the COCL and therefore the council, and not the Portland Police Bureau deciding who disseminates that information. Similarly, there needs to be a much more inclusive process than we had to do the initial survey to Portland ground truth the questions. Yes, there's national data, but all of us on the council who are politicians who do polls know that the wording really matters, and it matters specific to Portland. So I'm not comfortable with moving forward with this right now. I don't see the urgency to do it, and I don't know that the Portland Police Bureau, although the funding is lodged in the Bureau, and we certainly appreciate your willingness to be good partners, it's a council responsibility to get this done.
Some reason why we wouldn't wait for the COAB to be appointed before doing this?
Other than that, from the Police Bureau perspective, we would like to see the results of what we've done so far, particularly as you look at questions of funding. It's, as with anything else, and again, I'm not saying this is the final grade. I'm saying, like with any other source of data, you triangulate. But this is going to be one measure by which we can look at how we're improving or not improving, which I think would be obviously very important. And those questions are really are directly related. I mean, very specific questions around like police use of force with persons with mental illness. So we would be very interested in having access to those data to inform all our strategies moving forward. And again, given the sums of money involved, I think we think it's important that we were able to really plan out how we approach this. In regards to the data themselves, the council, I'm sure, I mean, the police bureau, if the council tells the police bureau to do something, I mean, I'm not a politician, I don't know your processes, but I would assume that we wouldn't say no to the council if there was a sense that the data needed to be released to somebody. And I can't speak for Portland State, but as long as it didn't violate, they have a, this process goes through an ethics review, and I suspect they would be very willing to work with the council on any sort of release of data up to the point it violated their ethical, they have an ethical code that they've, it's a process where they review and they have to adhere to certain standards, which I'm sure they wouldn't budge on. But otherwise, I think they'd be very willing.
Mayor, we need a much more active engagement by people with mental illnesses in our Department of Justice process before we should be moving forward with anything. We did have some input from the Albina Ministerialized Coalition on the previous survey, but we did not have people with lived experience in mental illness. We didn't have the leaders at the mental health care providers organizations. So it's really not appropriate to move forward with another survey until we have those folks engaged and at the table. And as the chair of the council, the city coordinating committee that's looking at the Department of Justice settlement, I just don't feel we're ready to move forward on this.
Okay. Well, this is not an emergency ordinance. It comes back for second reading. They'll give us a chance to have some more discussions about the questions that have been raised here. I think they're good questions. And then we can decide next week whether to proceed or not.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. So this comes back for second reading.